More than a century ago, a scholar and historian from Sydney University spent decades travelling through Greece, capturing more than 1,800 images of ancient sites, landscapes and villages. William Woodhouse was a voracious photographer, and after his death, his slides were bequeathed to the university's Nicholson collection. Unfortunately, the records about where the photos were taken have been lost, but now a crowdsourced effort to find out more information about the slides has elicited more than 600 responses and a lot of answers. Candice Richards is the assistant curator of the Nicholson collection at Sydney University's new Chalchak Museum. Candice Richards, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hi, friend. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about this collection of images. Would you tell us a little bit about William Woodhouse and what he was doing on his travels through Greece back in the 1890s, I think?
Yeah, William Woodhouse was, you know, a historian and really loved classics and classical ancient history. And so he travelled to Greece for the first time in the 1890s to really understand the landscape, topography and history of the land of Greece. Because he really thought that you couldn't just learn history from books, you had to be there, you had to handle the objects, you had to actually experience the country. And because of that, he really took up photography as a way of capturing the landscapes that were important for his research. But he went way beyond just archaeological sites. He captured towns, villages, the people he met along the way, the animals that he encountered, people going about their daily life in Greece in this 1890s to around 1910 period, which is when Greece is on the cusp of an industrial revolution. You've got a whole range of different changes happening across the country, including the invention of kind of steam travel and things like that. So it's a really time capsule moment for Greek history taken by this classicist wandering around the landscape.
And as you say, Greece has changed a lot since then. It was the brink of the Industrial Revolution. There's also been war in the country since then. So is that why you sought help to try and identify these places? Because these places, even the ancient sites that I'm sure many of us think we know so well would be easy to recognise, have some of them changed in that time?
Absolutely. Archaeology excavation hadn't really been invented yet. It was the beginning of real archaeological science at this kind of time as well. And so many of the landscapes and sites that he photographed are before their excavation entirely. So things like the Roman baths at Argos, which is, you know, a site that archaeologists might know but the general visitor might not, was just a mound at the time. And nowadays it's got a huge theatre and a bath complex and a whole range of sites that you just would never have kind of pictured those two things next to each other.
I presume he took pictures of the Parthenon. Was that there as it is, as we know it now? Has that changed?
Pretty much. The Parthenon is definitely one of the main sites that he photographed. He was just as in love with it, I think, as everybody else
as all of us are.
Indeed. But things like the monumental gateway to the Acropolis were under reconstruction at the time. So the photographs he has of those have all this fabulous wooden scaffolding over them from when they're being repaired in 1908.
So what gave you the idea to crowdsource these images? Were none of them marked? There was absolutely nothing that accompanied these images?
Well, this is the interesting thing. So when he passed away in 1937, the collection went into the hands of his daughter, Liska Woodhouse, and it wasn't until the 80s that she actually donated them to the University of Sydney. And over that time, there had been obviously a lot of house moves, but also a house fire. And so we think that there may have been more records that Woodhouse kept, because as a historian and as a collector, he definitely kept a lot of records and notebooks and things like that, but just none that relate to the images. And so we had to kind of, over the last maybe 10 to 15 years, we've digitized the collection. So we've scanned them all and we've made them, you know, accessible so we can actually see the images easily without handling these glass plates that are very fragile. But how do you access 1,800 images when you have to look at each individual one and learn their details and learn what they're of? And so it's definitely more than one curator can do on their own. And a lot of other museums have used Flickr for things like sharing their collections. And Flickr is a really great way of putting a collection out there under a Creative Commons license, which means that people can use those images the way that they want to, because they're out of copyright.
Okay, so others can use these images, but you're hoping for others to help you work out what they are. You've crowdsourced them. Who's come to the party? Who's come in? Has it been just people in Australia or all over the world?
Indeed, we definitely did put out the call out, and we've had responses from around the world. The Greek diaspora community is definitely, while we've got a lot of Greek migrants to Australia, and especially in Sydney and Melbourne, we've had people around the world with connections to Greece really contribute. So people are commenting on their own villages, people are commenting on the dance that they recognise in some of the photographs. We've had people identify the what people are doing. One of the images of it is of a man laying out roof tiles to dry in the sun, and it wasn't until somebody on Flickr comments and really draws your attention to those, do you see these images and really get into the detail of these images.
So in terms of getting these images, you know, the ancient sites people have helped with, you said a lot of it's just ordinary life. Have people helped you with the images of, you know, just everyday streets and homes and villages, people come in who know these places?
Absolutely. We've got certain people who know their village because it's where they're from particularly. We've had others who recognise their family places. We've had specialists come in and recognise that, you know, a certain type of architecture was only built in one region of Greece, so it had to be, you know, one of these three villages. So the level of detail comes from family knowledge to community knowledge, all the way up to academic knowledge of really specialised content. So it's been a really wonderful project to get so many different people talking to each other and different types of knowledge contributing to what would always be a closed-off collection if we didn't put it out there.
What's your favourite story of spotting here, and how involved has the Australian Greek community, which is significant obviously, been in that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the luckiest things I did get to do was a few years ago I got to travel in the footsteps of Woodhouse. And because we had just put the collection up, we had had some responses online already. Uh-huh. And I thought it would be a great way to try and work out, is the information that we're getting, how accurate is it and what can we tell? And one person had told me about a monastery at St. George at Phanelos. And had told me about the rose petal jam that you could get there. And I thought, well, why not? And so I went and visited the monastery myself and met the monks who currently live there. It's still a working monastery, one of the few left in the Peloponnese. And they did offer me some rose petal jam, which was fabulous. But the best thing about it was that I took the images with me on my phone so I could share them as I went. And I showed the monks the photographs of their monastery from 100 years ago. And they'd never seen those images. There were photographs of the monks that lived there 100 years ago when they didn't have photographs of them at all. So I shared them with them in my very broken Greek, trying to work out how to transfer them to him. And eventually he says, Bluetooth, Bluetooth. And so we Bluetoothed our phones together and shared all of the images I had of the monastery with them.
Fantastic. And Candice, finally, the Chow Chak Wing Museum, where you work, is now complete. You're at the point of setting up the exhibits, which is a Herculean task you've undertaken. When's it all going to be ready to go?
Well, yeah, it's definitely a Herculean task. We've had to move a 3.5-tonne monumental sculpture this week, but we're getting ready to open in November. So the November 18th is our opening to the public, and we'll have these images as well as a whole suite of exhibitions on display then.
Okay, and just very briefly, if people want to get involved, they want to be part of this crowdsourcing, there's a lot of Australian Greeks, obviously a lot of them still have deep connections to their home villages. Where do they go to partake?
They can easily just go to ccwm.info/woodhouse, and there they'll find all the information, the images, how to connect to Flickr, and what to do to if you would like to contribute some of your own information to this wonderful archive.
It sounds great. Get into it. Candice, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Candice Richards, the Assistant Curator of the Nicholson Collection at Sydney's University New Chow Chak Wing Museum. The museum opens officially in November and it'll house Australia's largest collection of antiquities. If you want to be part of this crowdsourcing program around the Woodhouse collection, it's ccwm.info/woodhouse.